I want to talk to you this morning about hope that inspires. And definitely it inspires us in our Christian walk with God, but I want to just sort of put it in our relationship to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to turn to Romans 4 as a beginning place and look at verse 17 where it says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." And you know, we can hit some very low places in life sometimes. Just very low. And what is it when we get down to these low places that inspires us to keep hanging on, to keep pressing on, to not quit? Let me tell you this, if you don't have any belief in the living God, you won't have any hope. Listen to what he says right here. He believed in the one who calls those things which be not as though they were. So you can't see it. In our eyes, it doesn't exist. It's not there. But to God, they are sure. He sees them. He knows them. He's the God who calls those things which be not as though they were. They become a reality in the presence of the living God. And so I want to turn back to Isaiah chapter 53 for just a moment. Now, I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning just kind of running all these things in my mind, and it's probably going to be a little bit scattered. So y'all bear with me a little bit as I'm trying to change horses and put all these things together. Isaiah 53. "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." And you know, that's the way men felt about the Lord Jesus Christ. It took the sovereign grace of God to open their eyes to see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that's still true today? If you see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is because grace has opened your eyes and favored you to be able to see the beauties of the Lamb of God. But you know, I believe it goes a little farther than that, because when you go back to the Old Testament and you look at that tabernacle, you know that was a type of Christ. And you see, from the outward appearance of that thing, it didn't look like much, did it? Had those old ugly badger skins dyed red on that thing. But when you went inside, all the glitter of gold and all these precious things. And you know that's the way it is with Jesus, the Son of God. On the outside, he didn't look like much. But brother, when you look on the inside, you saw the brightness of the Father's glory and his divine nature just shone through. Amen. Amen. And you know, I believe today that it takes the same grace for you to see the beauty of his church.
That's right.
That it does to see the beauty of his person. But when you look at the church scattered across the world in these little local assemblies, many times they don't look like much until you go inside and then you see all the precious things. Now, we had a wonderful meeting in our 4th of July, and the preachers just were blessed to preach. Elder Nathan Pitney came down and was tremendously blessed. And one of the things that he relayed there was this. That he had been asked to go and preach a meeting at Fairhaven Primitive Baptist Church. And so they were so excited about all that. And so here they go traipsing across the country. with high expectations, just looking forward to being there in the service of the Lord, and they had a young man with them who didn't know a whole lot about the Old Baptist. And they pull up on the church grounds, and he said, "This is it. This is it." And you know, that's the way a lot of people feel when they look at the church. They say, "This is it. There's not a whole lot to it." And you're right, from the outside appearance, there's not a whole lot to it until you go inside. And then you see all these precious things. I want to talk to you about three precious people that have been wonderful blessings through the years. Now, I thank you all for condolences about my father's passing. But I tell you, I rejoiced the moment I heard he was no longer in his suffering with dementia and all the things he was going through. I praise God that for over 65 years, the God that he preached about, he was now face to face with him. And I rejoiced in that. And so I tell you, my daddy was a wonderful man that at times he went to those places where it got down low. When he left Georgia and he went back west, he didn't know where he was going, but he just knew the Spirit was leading him. And as he went across those states, he was praying and crying and begging God to revive that area in Arkansas. And you know, the Lord used him and Elder Roland Green to revive that area. When he went back the second time to Arkansas, to the little church that he was raised up in, I tell you, they weren't meeting there, just looked dead. They were even using the building to store hay in. And then they got it all cleaned out. And God's blessed that little church to still be there today. And Elder Andrew Beecham is there pastoring that. And true, when you look at that on the outside, it didn't look like much. But when you go inside, you see all the precious things of the saints of God. And what a blessing that is. And so my daddy went, and it got down low. They had the building all shut up, storing hay. You can't get down much lower than that, can you? But he had hope in the one who calls those things which be not as though they were. And so because he trusted God and he believed in him, the Lord used him to revive that place. And there's a church there today. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Hallelujah. What a great God we serve. You know, years ago, the church that I served got down to 3 members. 3 members. And 2 of them wanted to close the door. That's pretty low, isn't it? One of them said, As long as there's a meeting day here, then I'll be here. And you know, we enjoy a wonderful church now where we are because one sister would not give up. Amen. And so when you turn to that second chapter of the book of Hosea, Hosea chapter 2, we find that God is using Gomer, Hosea's wife, as an example of how Israel had been so unfaithful to him repeatedly over and over. And in verse 7 of this, the picture changes because she's repenting and desiring to turn back to God. And you know, that's such a wonderful blessing when God can grant us repentance and a desire to turn back to him. You know, there's a promise that I want to leave you all with this morning in the 55th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 7, it says, "That the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." I'm so thankful that's still true today. Thousands of years have passed since Isaiah penned this, but it's still true. No matter how far you may get away from God, if you repent and turn back to him, he will receive you and restore you. What a tremendous blessing that is in our lives today. So Hosea 2 and 14 says, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. Now, you know this precious sister, it was said of her that she was constantly reading the Word of God and just telling all her children and grandchildren about all these things that she read. And so I cannot help but believe that she came across scriptures like Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 33. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Yep. And I tell you, there's no doubt in my mind that scriptures like this flooded this precious sister's mind, and she can lay hold on this God who calls things which be not as though they were, and He can take this desolate place and build it back up. And hallelujah, amen. God is doing it. Praise the Lord. You know, when you look at that word Achor in Hosea 2 and 15, the word means to roil. It's like the idea of boiling water, churning waters. The waters are rising, and they're rising above your head, and you're just caught in the torrents, sucking you down. You know, we were blessed to go on probably a once-in-a-lifetime thing to Austin Adventures, way up in the Wyoming Rockies, Tetons, the Grand Tetons. And the greatest rush of that trip was the whitewater rafting. You get in that thing, and they tell you how you got to steer that thing when you hit those whitewater rapids. And so we hit some really violent ones, and it knocked the guide out of the boat. So we had to kind of steer over to the side out of the currents and go back and get her. And you know, here's a wonderful promise, that when you fall out of the boat, God is coming back to get you. He's not going to leave you out here. When you get down in the low places of life, I want you to fix your hope on God. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep going on, because He's going to throw you a lifeline of deliverance. That's the God we serve. What a great hope we have in Him. It's a beautiful thing. But now let me tell you that years ago I was blessed to go with Elder Zach Guess to Hohenwald, Tennessee, and meet Annie Henson. She was a poor old sister, lived a hard life. Her husband did not like her going to church and serving the Lord. And he told her one Sunday morning, when you get back, me and the kids will be gone. And she got down, she begged him to stay, she went on to church. Did you hear what I said? She went on to church. Now, a lot of people would say, well, that's it then, I'm just going to give up and not serve the Lord. She went on to church. She got off the path and fell down on her face and begged God that He would have mercy on her. And you know, when she got back home, He was still there. And she said, honey, I'll go in and fix you your best meal that you like. And she did. And He wouldn't eat a bite of it. But you know, she lived to see God touch that man, and he followed the Lord and was baptized, a member of that church, because of a faithful sister that would not give up. And I tell you, that's great. We need that in our day, because our people are going to get low, but we keep on going and we keep on having faith and hope in the God who calls all things which be not as though they were. Now, in that service that night, Brother Zach was blessed to preach. Her husband had died, and there was a wealthy man in the church that owned a gravel pit and had trucks going by her house every day. But he didn't help one dime to pay for those funeral expenses. And so she got happy in the Lord. And I've never been in a service where somebody shouted, but she came through the line saying, "Praise you, Jesus. Keep your money and give me Jesus." I tell you what a tremendous blessing we have had through the years. When you look at the Church of Jesus Christ, you don't see much on the outside. But when you go inside, you see a lot of precious things.